Chapter 14, How to Handle and Give Criticisms Nicely. How to Handle Criticisms. You can never satisfy everyone in this world, which is why you have to know how to handle harsh words and offensive remarks. The more you retaliate, the more you incite your opponents to strike back. They want and expect a fight. So are you going to give them what they want? They are well prepared to put you down, so don't let yourself fall into their trap. Anticipate any criticism before they say it, so you can prepare beforehand. For instance, someone who disagrees very much with your principles starts mouthing bad words at you. Ignore him completely, as if he's not there. Just stay where you are, in a relaxed mood, and let him do his thing. He will feel awkward with what he's doing. Let him say everything he wants to say before you utter your first word, because he will never listen until he's done. He is constantly draining himself. Soon, he will be exhausted emotionally. While he is busy handing out his anger, you're secretly finding his weakness and thinking of a way to neutralize the assault. Then after he has released his criticisms on you, focus on his feelings and sense his inner emotions. Tell him that you are aware about his concerns, agree partially, and ask him what you could do to rectify the situation. People want you to respect and satisfy their egos. They would never want to be perceived as the wrong ones. If you directly insult or humiliate them, they will retaliate to reclaim their honor and dignity. Don't try to come up with all sorts of excuses or alibis to offset the criticisms. Admit your mistakes if you are guilty. Admitting your errors is such a humble act it will diffuse any hot temper. But even if you're not at fault, deny the criticism in a subtle way. Because critics have the tendency to inflate the situation, ask them for quantifiable proof. But never ask in this way, "What makes you think that what I did was wrong?" Your question might be perceived as a defensive reaction to their criticism. There's a nicer and more subtle way to ask. Before asking your question, it would help to say, "I don't understand," or "Let me get this straight," or "Please allow me to clarify." By saying this, you're not being defensive, but open for clarification. Then your questions should be asked in a way that fosters suggestions or possible improvements. Examples: "I don't understand. What is it about my report that was offensive? Please allow me to clarify. In what way was the data inappropriate? Let's get this straight. What part of the presentation was inaccurate?" Who knows? They may realize that their accusations were only trivial and there's no need to condemn you in the first place. They may also be aware of certain vital details that could have saved you from their insensitive words. So give them the complete facts and evidences to support your case. It is very important to empathize with them and let them know that you can be humble enough to acknowledge your faults. Always try to find a solution that will be favorable to everyone concerned. Some of your critics may realize later that they are the ones at fault, so be willing to compromise. If you need additional time or assistance to finish a certain task, simply ask if your request can be granted so that any future criticisms can be avoided. If you're the one doing the criticizing, and you're not sure whether what you say is offensive or not, use a third party. Instead of saying, "I think it may produce unsatisfactory results if we continue with your plans," use a third party and say something like, "Although your proposal sounds excellent, all people who have already followed the same plan you're proposing right now have not yet achieved their desired results." Fogging. When someone says that you're a slow learner, is that true or false? That may be true if you're compared to someone like Isaac Newton, but it may also be false if you're compared to the fictional character Mr. Bean. In a general sense, what he says may be partially true, so why fight it? Admit what he said might be right in order to diffuse the criticism or attack. When he finds out you're not affected, it will discourage him. It's like saying, "Who cares?" or "So what?" in a gentle fashion. Words most commonly used when fogging are, "You're probably right." "I agree. Sometimes I think that way too." "You have a point. I can see why you would say that. That could be true." See the dialogue below on how Mr. Z has countered Mr. Y's severe criticisms. Mr. Y: "You look so ugly today. You don't look like this a few weeks ago." Mr. Z, I agree. My face has become ugly because all these sleepless nights are causing countless pimples to appear. Mr. Y, in fact, you look like a pimple with a face in it. Mr. Z, you're probably right. I could go to a dermatologist and have them do something about my ugly face. And your clothes, it looks like it's been worn by the victim in a massacre film. You have a point. You know, I may sometimes be so thrifty I have to buy the lowest quality outfit. Thrifty is the understatement of the century. You're so cheap you can't even buy yourself some ramen noodles. I can see why you would say that. I may be very cheap at times. The worst part is your breath is as terrible as your looks. Sometimes I think that way too. My breath may stink so bad it could render anyone unconscious. You act like a spineless coward the way you're answering me. I agree. I may be acting like a spineless coward sometimes. Through fogging, you accept the criticism and as far as whatever may be true in it, as stated by the critic. The critic will see it as a hopeless measure to argue with you any further. This is an effective way to handle criticism without being defensive. Negative assertion. What if the criticism is absolutely true? Then you must willingly accept the criticism, but you don't have to take the guilt trip. Negative assertion allows you to be more tolerant of your own faults and eases any negative feelings the critic may have by admitting your mistakes without having to resort to remorseful repentance. Here's how the son uses negative assertion in his conversation with his father. Dad says, Son, I saw your report card and I'm very much disappointed with your grades. The son, you're right, Dad. I should do something to improve my grades. Dad, well, you should. I think you're spending so much time on extracurricular activities that your studies are being sacrificed. Why not focus on just your studies? Son, these activities do take up so much of my time, don't they, Dad? I will manage my time and learn to prioritize. If needed, I'll forego some of my extracurricular activities. You may even admit your error right before you can allow someone to criticize you. For example, you can say, Hello, I forgot to bring your book. Learning, not criticizing. If your child has done something wrong, never criticize him for his mistakes. Instead, ask him, That did not turn out to be okay, did it? What lesson have you learned? Or that was a great learning experience. What would you do differently in the future? Criticisms may hurt his ego and may only create a backlash. On the contrary, making him realize the moral or lesson to be learned in every failed experience will enrich his character and knowledge. How to criticize gently. Here are some other great ways to throw your criticism at others without being offensive. Number one, if I were you, would I have made the wrong decision? Number two, assigning others as critics. I once had a friend who gave in to temptation, just like your friend, but he realized his faults and changed his ways. Number three, assuming related traits. You seem to be someone who is frank with that in mind. I think you're more prone to being less careful with your words. Universal principles. You may use universal principles to challenge people's opinion or belief. Critic. There are no honest people in politics. You, never? Critic, cell phones are unnecessary. You, for all people? Critic, my employees are stubborn. You, always? The nonviolent way to voice out your hurt feelings. It is oftentimes difficult to express your emotions because of the fear that the other person might get offended or even angry. You can persuade in a subtle manner by saying something like, When you acted like a crazy person at the party, I got humiliated because everyone perceived our family to be highly respectful. Is it okay if you don't do that again in the future? The format is, when you, I got, or felt, because, is it okay if you? Some people might agree, while some might not get persuaded by such statements immediately. If he commits the same act again, simply repeat your statement in a slightly modified way. Let him know that you're not joking around, and that you really intend to change his attitude for his own benefit. How to persuade the hard-headed. Some people just don't get it. You repeatedly tell them to avoid doing this and that, but they don't seem to understand the implication of their actions. One technique you can use to make them understand your message is by role reversal. Ask something like, If you're in my position and I always do such and such, what would you do? By doing this, they will at least realize how their actions are affecting you. However, some people cannot be convinced otherwise, no matter how hard you try. They defend steadfastly what they believe to be true, even if there's no reliable proof or it's not based on facts. In that case, use any of the following counters. How did you come to that conclusion? What proof do you have to support your decision? From whom did you get the facts? What is your source? Where did you get that information? Example, critic. This project is impossible to finish. You. How did you come to that conclusion? Critic 3. James is a worthless employee. You. Where did you get that information? Critic. Foods like these cause cancer. You. What is your source? Just remember, do it gently. Be careful not to sound like you're disagreeing with them, because you're not. You just want to be sure you get the facts right. Another way to counter them is to use their own criticisms against themselves. Example, James is a worthless employee. You. Maybe only a worthless employee might say such a thing. Critic, this project is impossible to finish. You. No, it is impossible to finish anything if you don't have any commitment. How to counter objections. Learn to think of the proper rebuttal when people find a reason to not agree with you. If your spouse says, "We shouldn't take this vacation yet because I have tons of work to do that are stressing me out," you could say something like, "That's why we should go. You need to relax and recharge in order to boost your productivity." Here are some other persuasive replies that you can use to counter objections. Number one, it's not that. When someone has an objection, you can always negate the objection and point out the benefits and the advantages. Objector, this plan is too risky. You, it's not that it's risky. This plan will be the cornerstone of our success. Number two, extreme negative outcome. You can successfully overcome an objection by pointing out the extreme negative results of their belief. Objector, I'm too untalented to join the contest. You, if you don't join, you'll never know what wonderful experience may come to you in this once-in-a-lifetime event. If you join, you either win or lose, but you lose 100% if you don't join. And you wouldn't want to spend the rest of your life thinking, what if, would you? In fact, you might just miss out on becoming an instant celebrity with the fans cheering you if you don't even try. The worse or more negative the outcome, the more convincing. Here's another example. Objector, marketing products online is too difficult for me. You, so you are willing to stay on your current job, hating every minute of it until you retire, and missing out on the chance to have financial freedom, travel around the world, and be happy for the rest of your life? Number three, extreme positive advantages. You can also point out the positive effects or benefits of changing their belief. Objector, it's too stressful to study law. You, how could being focused on studying law give you the brighter future, rewarding career, and dream fulfillment you've always longed for? Four, opposing instances. Think of occasions or instances when their belief has been proven wrong. Objector, I don't believe in God because I don't believe in aspects I can't see. You can't see air, but you know it's there, right? Objector, I'm too lazy to go to the bank to pay my bills. You, well, you're not too lazy to go to the bank to cash your checks. Immunity against criticism. And finally, here's a method to protect, or should I say immunize, the people you know from criticisms that may hurt their feelings or ego. Let's say you have a child who is ready for his first day of school. He might come along some other students who might belittle or tease him. Before he meets other students, immunize him from any possible verbal attack by saying, "Son, you're going to meet other kids who might tell you that they are better or smarter than you. Just ignore them because what they are saying is wrong. Some kids are so insecure they'll discourage you from doing your best. But you know better now that I've told you this secret." By doing this, your child will be well prepared to face such incident if it ever occurs. If you don't do this in the first place and he encountered a confrontation, your kid might think that you're only trying to make up an explanation to make him feel better. This is the end of chapter 14.